gifts back to you, our tithes of the good gifts that you have given to us to advance the kingdom in this world, that your kingdom would come here and now in and through your people, that you would use these things and bless them to bring your kingdom, that as your kingdom is in heaven, it will be here. Use the sacrifices of your people to advance that. We pray this, Jesus, in your name, for your kingdom's sake. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you're going to get a little bit of a rough draft sermon this morning. I did get the phone call yesterday. And so I'm going to be teaching this fall, this spring, through a series on rest. And I'm basing that series off Matthew 11. You can turn in your scripture and your Bibles to Matthew 11, starting in verse 25. We'll read that together. But I'm going to be doing this series on rest for a busy campus. Erskine College is a campus of busy college students. They're 85% athletes, so they're involved in sports. They're involved in extracurriculars and a badge of honor, but also a regular, honest confession of students as I see them is, how are you doing? And the answer is, busy. So I'm teaching a series this spring on rest. And so I've been doing some study and some reading and things. But mostly in my head right now is a bunch of discombobulated thoughts that I'm going to try to connect for you a little bit this morning from Matthew 11. So if you walk away from here going, that was very discombobulated, you can blame COVID for that. So, and that great enemy. But I think we can see some things this morning in this text together. I'll also confess, I'm old now, which I know I'm not that old. I'm 36, so I'm feeling older all the time. I wake up with like, why does my back hurt? So I take walks. I take morning walks. I wake up at 6:30 to walk because I'm old. And on my walk this morning, I was really humbled and intimidated to be preaching here to you all. This is a passage and probably a theme of worship and living that you have figured out better than me. And as I come to this text, it was less than about 2 years ago that I said to someone in a one-on-one meeting, I have no idea what this means deeply. I think there's some things we can take away from that. But I really struggle to understand the rest, the deep soul rest that Jesus offers us. And you probably have that figured out. So you might be sitting here this morning as well, like, oh, that young pup will figure it out at some point. So as we come to this text, I just want to be honest about that and even this series. To look at this sermon this morning, that you probably know more and have lived more faithfully in this than I have. And so there's a part of me that's doing this series, even for myself and my own family, as we go through what the rest of God is and that he offers to his people. So let's look at the text together, Matthew chapter 11, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, I've already confessed that this is a passage that I don't really deeply grasp. And yet, Jesus, you spoke these words 2,000 years ago to your people to give them great comfort and hope and to reveal something about yourself. Jesus, I pray this morning through your word, by your spirit, that you would reveal yourself to us, your people. I may be preaching, Jesus, but you know that this message and this word is for me as well. And so would you reveal yourself to us as a good and gracious gentle and lowly Savior for us. I pray these things, Jesus, in your name, for your kingdom's sake. Amen. So it was a couple years ago, as I already said, that I came to this text and was having some conversations with somebody I was supposed to be ministering to. And for some reason, they were asking me about this. And I finally was just honest and said, look, I'm just going to be honest. I really don't know what this means on a deep level. I think as we come to this text, one of the reasons I told you I'm considering it is the status of Erskine College campus. It's an exhausted and busy campus. But I think right now in our world, I think we live in an exhausted world. I think COVID has exhausted us. I think politics has exhausted us. I think social media has exhausted us. As I look at the world, you know, I think we really see an angry world out there. I myself have been angry over the last couple of years. And I think what's a lot of that anger comes from this point of just utter exhaustion over what's been going on in our world for a couple of years now. There's so many things that have been out of our control. And maybe there's other things as you look at the world you think you had control of that were taken away. And I think as we come in, lean into the world, I think as we look at our world and our culture, I think it's the world and our culture are tired. And the best that anything has to offer us is a checkout. Now, I minister to college students. They live on social media, and it seems like a new social media platform is developed every 6 months so that a student will say to me, do you do Instagram? Do you do TikTok? And I'll say, no, what is that? Facebook started when I was in college. So Erskine College was a beta test school for Facebook. And so that dates me with my students, right? But it's not that old, right? I was in college when Facebook was created. How are all these other platforms that everyone's always engaging in? And if you don't know what TikTok is, it's basically 30-second videos that just keep flashing all over the place, and people sit there on their phones and do this. Juk, 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 30-second video after 30-second video. And so I think we have an exhausted and angry world, and the best that our culture has to offer in social media is a checkout. The best that we can engage is a checkout. You don't see it just on social media, but I think you also see it in binge watching, right? What a term, right? What a cultural term. What are you binge watching right now? It's almost like it's expected. Jody and I binge watch things, it's true. We just binge watched the new Boba Fett of Star Wars, which is on Disney, which is really good, but it doesn't matter. So binge watching, right? We're so exhausted and tired that we check out and we binge watch things, episode after episode after episode. And our culture has that. And I think as we come to Scripture, there's something very different being offered in Jesus. Jesus is offering something very different. He's offering rest. I don't know what your experience with rest is, and I don't know what your experience with burdens are, but I think we all probably have experience of burdens and rest. And Jesus is offering us rest. So what kind of rest is Jesus offering us? Well, what's really surprising to me is this passage comes right after woes are pronounced. Jesus pronounces these woes. So look in your Bibles, beginning at verse 20, in chapter 11. In Matthew 11, beginning in verse 20. So the passage we just read comes right after this. Then he, that's Jesus, began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have been repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. You know, as I read that, my response is like, whoa! It's better for Sodom than for these people? Sodom was pretty bad. And I'm pretty sure, if I remember my Old Testament Sunday school that some of you taught me long ago, that there was great balls of fire that came down from heaven and blew that place up. That seems pretty bad to me. And Jesus is saying to these cities that have rejected him, it would be better for Sodom than for you and what you have done in your sin. And my response to that is, whoa, Jesus is really serious. This is a serious guy pronouncing serious woes to these people who have not believed in him. And I think whenever you come across judgment passages in the Bible, that I think in our hearts we know that this word sin starts to creep up to us. If these people are being judged, what about me? If these people will be judged for the things that they have done, what will I be judged for? I'm going to say this. You heard it here first. Okay, just remember this. I think the word sin is going to make a comeback. Okay, you cannot say the word sin right now. But I think our culture has gone to such an extreme that I think you're going to hear, it's going to be 2024, I'm calling it. 2024, you're going to start to hear the word sin be talked about by secular people who are not believers. Right now we can't talk about the word sin, right? But I think you're going to start to hear people talk about sin because there's something in us that goes, something is very wrong. Something is very off. And we love, right now our culture loves the word broken. We're broken. We have brokenness. But there's this sin problem. And Scripture does this to us as we look at it, as we confront passages where we see judgment. I think there's just this glaring, obvious thing to us about, man, we're sinners too, though. I have sin. So I love Reformed liturgies that have weekly confessions of sin and assurances of pardon. It's a really beautiful thing. It's a really beautiful part of being a pastor to be able to pronounce assurances of pardons to God's people. And so I think first the rest, the first kind of rest that Jesus is offering us is a rest of salvation. In Reformed talk, we call this justification. Jesus saves us from our sin. On the cross of Christ, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus said, "It is finished." In Jesus, we find rest because we do not have to worry about our salvation. Now, my wife grew up in the Methodist Church. Her family's Methodist. My grandfather, who's passed away for many years now, was in the Methodist Church for a long time. And I've had very sad conversations with Jody's grandparents and with my grandparents and recently with Jody's father about what I don't know that I'm saved. I hope I've done enough. I hope I've been good enough. I hope I've lived a good enough life. People of God, you cannot live a good enough life. You are a sinner. But there is this Jesus who offers this great rest that he says, in me it is finished. It is complete. It is total. You can rest here because you do not have to wonder or earn your salvation. And in me and in my work and in my person, I offer you rest in life because you do not have to keep atoning for yourselves. I lived in Omaha, Nebraska for 9 years, and that's a Catholic town. And self-atonement is exhausting. It's exhausting generationally. Every person I ever talked to that grew up in the Catholic Church hates the Catholic Church for lots of reasons. But the exhaustion of self-atonement, just like I can't do it anymore. I can't keep saying these things and doing these things. And the gospel rest offered in Jesus Christ is that he has paid it all. It is finished. It is complete. And you may rest in that. If you want a great reminder of this and picture, we binge watched one of Christmas movies over December. And The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe of Narnia, the Narnia stories of C.S. Lewis. The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe is a great movie. We watched that with our kids. And it is a beautiful picture where the lion Aslan goes to sacrifice himself at the table. I found myself with my 5 and 3-year-old daughter as Aslan was walking with Lucy and Susan to the table to be killed, where my daughter said to me, "Dad, is the lion going to die?" And they're 5 and 3. And I'm a man. And I grabbed him close to me and I said, "Yes, he's going to die." And I started to be emotional. But that picture afterwards of Aslan's death where the table, whoosh, right, cracks in half. It's a powerful picture. It's a movie worth watching for many different reasons. But of that table being broken, and that sin being paid for, and Aslan saying, it is complete. I've done that work. My boys are listening to the Narnia Stories book on tapes. At night, I walked in, and it was at that same scene in the book of Aslan saying, talking about what happened at the table. And it's this great line, because C.S. Lewis was great, and it was this great line of, well, how does, the witch said, though, that a traitor has to pay, right? The witch said a traitor has to pay. And Aslan, in this great, you know, British reading accent voice, says that there's a deeper magic that the witch didn't know about, right? And you're like, yes, deeper magic, I love this. The deeper magic is Jesus. And the plan of God of salvation, that he will do it for you, and that you can rest that it is finished. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Children of God, fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers in Christ, rest in the gospel of Jesus. That is your justification, that it is complete in Jesus. You do not have to atone for yourself. I think there's other rests that are also being offered here by Jesus. Let's go back into that passage. Verse 38. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You all have a burden that you work for. You all have yokes that are placed upon you that you work towards. An ox, a yoke, is something, you guys all know this, that is put on an oxen and he pulls the cart. We all have yokes and burdens and work that we do, hopefully 6 days, 5-6 days a week. All of you here have something that you work towards to accomplish in this world. I'm a pastor, and so no one really knows what we do. But whatever it is that we do, we minister and we labor for that. And you all provide, this is a supporting church for RUF Erskine, I'm so thankful for that, that you all work and provide for the ministry that takes place at Erskine College. And you all work and provide for the ministry that takes place here at Unity ARP in Piedmont. But you also work for a broader kingdom, because all things are becoming subject to the kingdom of God. You work in this world at whatever it is that you do. I always say that you really don't respect a plumber until you need one, right? Don't really respect a mechanic until you really need one. And those people, I value that work, and that work is valuable. But it is toilsome. The work of ministry is exhausting. The work of working in this world is tiring. And so God created this thing called Sabbath, that we might rest in him. That we would work 6 days and have a Sabbath, that we would rest in him and what he does. And I was reading a book about this recently, and he said, the Sabbath is a reminder that as you cease to work, that God does not. And he started to compare it to sleep. He said, people that never stop working and that have high anxiety do not sleep well. But as believers, we can go to bed at night, because I don't have it written down here, I'm sorry, but one of the Psalms says that God never sleeps. So for 2 weeks, I've been going to sleep saying this to myself. I can go to sleep now. Because God is not sleeping, and he is working. And he is working to accomplish what I want him to accomplish, what he wants to accomplish, and he is working to accomplish that which needs to be accomplished. And so I can sleep. I can rest. And it's the same with the Sabbath day, that we can rest in what God has done for us, rest from our labors. How's your Sabbath? How is your Sabbath participation? Is your Sabbath restful and joyful and refreshing? Or is it kind of like the other days of the week? We can be good at Sabbath in our family. We call it, I take Sabbath on Friday because we work Sundays. And so on Fridays, we take our family Sabbath, and we call it Friday Family Fun Day. And this past Friday Family Fun Day, we just went to downtown Grateful, and we ate at this French bakery. And we got really good coffee. There were these, there was croissants, and it was other things in French, and tarts, right? They came up with great words. And you ate this stuff, and you just wanted to start to speak French. Like, madame, this is beautiful. We thought this was coffee. It was a delight. It was a delight to eat that food, to drink coffee. We went to the downtown river, Reedy River Park, and just walked around there. And our kids loved to run around down there. We then went and got a really good lunch, White Duck Taco. If you've not been to White Duck Taco in Greenville, it's A+, and it's owned by a PCA ruling elder. So it's blessed. But it's really good food, and we ate there, and all my kids complained about the tacos because it had weird stuff in it, like tomatoes, so I just ate all their food, and so it was really extra great for me. And then we went home, and we cooked, and on the way home, we stopped at this playground that's off 25. That's this huge playground that I always want to stop at with my kids, and we played there for like an hour, and it was just like, that's the day, right? That's Sabbath. To eat of this good food, to drink these good things, and to play, and to be at rest in God's world. And I went home actually to grill steaks, and we were so tired from our fun, good tired, that I didn't grill steaks. I grilled steaks last night. And so we just had this date. What is your Sabbath? You guys are probably way better at me than the Sabbath. But is the Sabbath this delight in who God is and the rest that He's given you? That you delight in His world and dive deeply into His world and dive deeply into His presence. I think many of us are exhausted and angry because we don't Sabbath well. And I know at seasons in my life we Sabbath well, and at seasons, particularly when I'm stressed in my job, I stop Sabbathing. And I excuse it because I'm a pastor and say, well, this is God's work. But it's the exact opposite of those things. How is your Sabbath? Do you delight in the Sabbath? Do you invite people into your Sabbath? I think Sabbath is a great evangelistic tool of, you want to see what God's like? Come and eat and drink and play with me and be with me on this day where I don't care about the things of the world because God has got it. Because He offers me His rest from my own work. So we have rest in the salvation that God gives us. We have rest in the Sabbath that God gives us. But I also think many of you and all of us carry other different kinds of burdens. I just want to read the passage again. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I've been in pastoral ministry for long enough that we all have burdens that we bear. And I don't mean that the callings and the work that you do, but burdens in your heart. Many of you probably have burdens for children. Maybe you have burdens for grandchildren. Maybe you have a burden for a neighbor. Maybe you have a burden for this country or your community. Or burdens for someone you just know and love. Maybe it's a burden for a spouse, a burden for a marriage, a burden for something else. I've been in ministry long enough and had enough conversations with people to know that you all have burdens. We all have burdens. And we carry them around like a backpack full of rocks that we never get a break from because our heart just breaks for the people and the things that we love. And I think in this passage, Jesus is saying to us, come to me. Come to me with your burdens. I will give you rest from your burdens. I think the picture that we see in this passage is like, I used to go backpacking before I had kids. Now if I take a hike, I have to carry kids, so I can't carry a backpack. But I used to go backpacking with all this stuff. I'd have my tent back there. I'd have all my supplies. And you know, you go backpacking and you stop. I do these 3 or 4 day trips. And you stop as you're backpacking. And you light your fire. You put up your tent. And when you sit down at that fire to eat whatever terrible meal you have packed and convince yourself it's a good meal, like a can of beans or a bag of ramen. And you've eaten that can of beans or bag of ramen that never tasted so good in your life. And you sit at that fire, you know, the sun goes down, it's the mountain, so it's earlier, it's like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and you're just exhausted. And you sit there by that fire, and you've been walking all day with a backpack, but you took the backpack off, and you've sat. And you're sitting by this fire, and you're like, I can go to sleep right now, and I can crawl into that tent, and it's going to be the best night's sleep I've ever had in my life on the ground. I think the picture of Matthew 11 is Jesus as you're backpacking in life, and you're carrying your burdens, and you come to a place where Jesus has a fire built, and his dinner is a lot better than a can of beans, and it's a lot better than a bag of ramen noodles, and it's a delightful meal, and the tent is pitched, it is set up, and you arrive there and walk by, and Jesus says, hey, weary traveler, sit down, have a rest, take off your backpack, and have a rest here. From the burdens I know that I carry, I often wake up in the middle of the night and not sleep through. They wake me up. They wear me down. And Jesus is saying, come to me, and I will give you rest. There's a saying that we were told at Covenant Seminary that I hate. And the saying is, to us as pastors, you are not the Christ. A different way of saying it that I've heard a different pastor in a book say, he says, his wife will say to him, God appointed one Messiah to save the world, and you are not it. That's good, right? I think often in pastoral ministry, I think I'm a Messiah that needs to save and fix everything. I don't think that feeling is uncommon to all of us as parents, as bosses, as people who work in this world and people who try to follow faithfully after Christ. I don't think that feeling is absent from most of us, that I need to do something to fix what's taking place. And what Jesus says to that is, no, you don't. No, you don't. There is one Messiah to save the world, and you are not it. You can pray for those people. You can love those people. You cannot save them. What does he say above there? Verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. I would love to say that about myself. All things have been handed over to me. It's not true of me. And no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. The Son chooses who to reveal himself to. And right after that, lest we think that the Son is picky and choosy, he says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think Jesus is offering us a deep soul rest that we would find not only in our salvation and in a weekly practice of Sabbath, but also to come to him with our suffering, and take our sufferings to him, that we might find him gentle and lowly, that his yoke is easy, that his burden is light, that he is in control of the world, and that he prepares a campfire for us to rest along the way as we try to faithfully follow him through this world. Today, as you go home and you enjoy your Sabbath, I think it's worthwhile considering, what is my practice of rest? What is my relationship to rest? And I think it's worth a conversation with a spouse or a close friend to say, I want to name to you my burdens. I want to name to you my burdens that I carry. Most people will probably know what those are, who are close to you and love you. But for you to name those burdens and to look at your patterns of rest, and with your spouse or a close friend or a close group of friends, as I know you already do, to take those burdens to the Lord in prayer and to find times of rest where you would acknowledge and remind yourself that Jesus is the Messiah who died for this world because he loves it so much. We are not, but he loves us deeply, and he's offering us deep soul rest as we journey along together until the end. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you for this passage. It's a sweet passage. Because you are a sweet Savior. This phrase, I confess, in some sense bothers me. I'm not entirely sure why, but for you to be gentle and lowly. But you are gentle and you are lowly. And your yoke is easy and your burden is light. I don't know where everyone is this morning. I don't know their patterns of rest. I'm sure they're much better at Sabbathing than me. But we all have these burdens in our world, and we all have callings of work in this world. Just, I pray this Lord's Day, this Sabbath day, that you would reveal yourself in deep rest to your people and refresh us and renew us, that we would experience this very passage today as we rest in our justification, as we rest in a Sabbath gift from you, and as we rest that you are God, that you are Savior, that you love your people, and that we are not. Father, going forward, would you reveal yourself to us as that gentle fire builder along the path of life as we all backpack with our burdens and our callings. Would you meet us sweetly and profoundly along the way, that you would express this and make this very real to us, not just in an intellectual way, but a deep soul rest kind of way, because that's the kind of rest that you say you offer. And would this rest that you give be a testimony that we might share with others of the goodness and the faithfulness and the gentleness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray this, Jesus, in your name and for your kingdom's sake. Amen. Let's stand and sing a hymn of consecration, hymn number 587 in the red hymn.